I will be talking about reducing data movement cost using energy efficient active computation on SSD, and I will go in detail of each of those. It's a cloud computing presentation, so if it doesn't work, then you know not everything in the cloud is good, but hope everything works. All right, so I will make you go through all this maze which is looking right now and go in detail in each one of those. So first let's cover the background. Our study is on Jaguar supercomputer, which is world's most powerful, it says here, but probably it's ranked number 6 right now, computer for science. So it does all the scientific simulation. But the question is, what really is science, and what do we really mean by science, right? Well, scientific discovery, all the science that leads to discovery, is a two-step process. The first step is the scientific simulation itself. You run the code, and then you analyze the data, whatever it is being produced, and visualize it. And then finally, that's what leads to scientific discovery. So not just the simulation, but actual analysis is what leads to scientific discovery. You know, grad student goes and digs in that data and comes up with some discovery, right? So let me introduce to this audience what really is a typical scientific simulation setup, right? So these are the simulation nodes. So these are the scientific simulation nodes. They produce some data, and that is written to permanent storage system using a parallel file system software. So all these simulation nodes produce some kind of data, and they are written to storage systems. Now the question is, what kind of data, and how big is that, right? So all these astrophysics applications, or protein folding application, or climate modeling produce big amount of data. For example, we will show you here 5 key applications that are run on Jaguar typically, probably every day. These are astrophysics, climate modeling, combustion and fusion applications, and there are many more, but we have picked 5 representative ones. Chimera, Vulcan 2D, S3D, GTC, and Gyro. If you see in this table, there are 2 kind of columns. First one is the analysis data generation, and the second one is checkpoint data generation. For this talk, checkpoint data generation is not relevant, but it's part of the data that we produce. It's to recover from a failed state. So checkpoint data is just for recovery. Analysis data is the one which we will focus on and which we want to analyze. Well, these numbers may look a little too small, just, you know, 16 KB per second or 170 KB per second per node. Well, at a scale, if GTC, for example, runs, it produces 30 terabyte of data per hour if it ran on 18,000 simulations. So it's really, we are talking about big data. All right, so what is the traditional way of doing data analysis? You have simulation nodes, and you have permanent storage system where you write. And after that, once you have stored on the permanent storage system, you do you have an offline data analysis cluster on the right-hand side, which does all the data analysis on the data that has been produced by the simulation node on the permanent storage systems. You see 2 arrows there because you read and write back and forth, and you do typical different kind of analysis operations, for example, regex matching, clustering, compression, statistics collection, etc. And these are the typical data analysis kernels which these scientific applications do run. Okay. All right, so that was background. Let's go into what is the problem with this traditional approach, right? So this is the traditional approach. You have an offline cluster which does all the analysis. What is the problem with that, right? First, offline approach of data analysis suffers from excessive data movement and energy cost. So it has multiple reads and writes to storage system, okay? And since you write to permanent storage system and you read back and forth, you incur a lot of data movement cost. Why is that even important for a supercomputer, right? Because people have been talking just about end-to-end performance. Well, energy is really important. Energy of data movement is at exascale is likely to be same or also computation cost, if not more. And that's the exascale computing study led by Peter Kog at Notre Dame. And they are saying it will actually even exceed the computation cost. And that means we really need to do something about energy. All right. Another option is to run these data analysis on the simulation nodes. That's the first approach, right? But that's not acceptable because it requires high CPU allocation cost on Jaguar, and you do not want to run something which is not flop intensive, floating point operation intensive, on Jaguar, because you pay for that machine really high just for running flop intensive tasks, right? All right, so this is the problem we want to solve. Then what exactly is our approach? Right, so it was supposed to be animation, but doesn't seem like it is coming out that way. But this is the traditional setup which I had introduced to you earlier. Simulation nodes are there, they store to permanent storage system using a parallel file system, and we used to have something called offline cluster. Now I will change that, which is supposed to be animation. So if you see now in the middle, there are two nodes. These are all the simulation nodes, but rather than writing to permanent storage system, they're actually writing to the middle one, to these two simulation nodes, and they are attached with SSD. So these small boxes that you see are actually SSDs. And we are arguing that we will do data analysis on these SSDs rather than on simulation nodes or offline cluster. So all these other nodes actually send their data to these SSDs. These simulation nodes, and they send it to SSDs. SSDs act like a middle storage system, and all the analysis would be performed on the SSD. Now, the point that I really want to make clear at this stage is, what do we really mean by performing analysis on SSD, right? Well, SSDs are typically do not just have storage capability, they also have controllers which actually perform garbage collection and other kind of activities. So they do have powerful controllers, and which we will come to that. And these controllers are actually computing processors, and this is where we want to perform our data analysis. So all of them just send their data to these nodes, these simulation nodes, and they perform all the analysis. And once they are done, these are the only ones which will write to your permanent storage system. So all other simulation nodes do not actually contribute in writing to permanent storage system. What is staging ratio? Staging ratio is the term we will use again and again. I will keep reminding you what the definition is. This is probably the first time we encounter this. So staging ratio means how many simulation nodes share one single SSD. So if you see here, there are four of them which actually share one SSD, and similarly four here which share one SSD. So staging ratio is four. All right, so what is the enabling trend for active flash? First, SSDs are actually now being adopted in supercomputing settings for better I/O throughput and storage capability. So we are not arguing, and this is probably really, really important point, we are not arguing SSDs to deploy it for active computation or for data analysis. All we are saying is this is anyway being adopted in supercomputing settings for better I/O throughput, but there's a lot of time left on these controllers which we want to exploit. And these controllers are actually becoming increasingly powerful. So they are actually multi-core ARM Cortex-based processor, for example, this SSD V model. The latest one from it's called Samsung PM830. And in situ analysis, since it reduces the data movement cost, if you notice, it doesn't go out of the band. It remains in transit while you do the analysis. And hence, it is inherently more energy efficient, and we will quantify that as well. And finally, it exploits the high internal SSD bandwidth and low power controller and available idle cycles, because these supercomputing applications do 10 to 15% of their time at max IO, and the rest of the time they are supposed to be idle. More importantly, since there are multiple cores, at least one of them would be idle. That's our hope, and this is how we evaluate. So even if there are multiple cores, we can just use one of them for data analysis. So what are the questions if this is actually going to be critical, and if this is the approach which we can argue about, then what are the questions we need to answer, right? So first one is, if SSDs are deployed with I/O performance in mind, we need to prove that active computation can be still performed without doing anything else or without provisioning extra, and it will be feasible. There is time to perform active computation, and it will be beneficial. So we need to prove that. We need to investigate that are additional SSDs really needed if we were to argue for active computation, right? And will actually active computation slow down the main simulation node? And that was the whole purpose, right? That your main simulation node should not slow down, no matter what you do. If you can do data analysis on the simulation node, but that will slow down the simulation node, right? And if this all is well and true, then how much energy efficiency should we expect? And what is the bounds on that, right? So this is the overview of our approach, and let's go into modeling each one of those. All right, so the first one is how many SSDs to deploy. So how do we model SSD deployment, right? So first, let's model the SSD deployment without even thinking of active computation. So there are two constraints that we model. There are other which we model later on, but it's not part on a five-page paper limit. It's the capacity and bandwidth constraint. What do we really mean by capacity constraint? Is how many SSDs are needed to sustain one output burst. So you have all these simulation nodes producing the data at the same time. If you said, I had 32 GB of SSDs, how many will I need to buy of those? And mind you, the whole point of having SSDs is having a better I/O throughput or bandwidth. So aggregate bandwidth of these SSDs need to be higher than of permanent storage system, right? So there are multiple important factors which actually determine those, and I will not go, I will save you from the maths and not show complicated equations, probably just one or two. The important factors are at what rate applications are producing data, what is the frequency of these output data, how much the bandwidth SSD has, and how much the bandwidth of permanent storage system is, what is the capacity of one SSD, over provisioning factor, and so on and so forth. Again, I will remind you staging ratio, because now I will heavily use this term. Staging ratio is how many simulation nodes share one common SSD, right? So again, the staging ratio is 4 here. All right, so S capacity just means the staging ratio based on capacity constraint. S bandwidth means staging ratio based on bandwidth constraints. You may safely ignore the funky looking expressions. And S just means the final staging ratio, which is the minimum of these two. You can only support the minimum. All right, so this is the staging ratio. Let's look one by one on the columns are different applications, Chimera, Vulkan, Pop, S3D, GTC, and Gyro. And rows are different staging ratios based on capacity, 16 GB, 32 GB, 64 GB, and finally the S bandwidth, which is bandwidth-based staging ratio. So obviously the bandwidth-based staging ratio is application independent and remains 54 throughout. Depending on what is the application data rate and what the SSD bandwidth is, these numbers do vary. And the ones which are actually more restrictive, I have highlighted them. For example, this one is in gray. 9 is actually lower of all of them. So you do need one SSD per 9 computing nodes or per 9 simulation nodes. So 9 simulation nodes will go to 1. And I probably want to remind you again that this analysis does not even talk about active computation yet. This is simply deploying SSDs for your better I/O throughput or sustaining the whole data output. Now, once we have set this staging ratio, which is 1, 9, 3, 54. Now, Chimera is kind of, it's a good application. It produces, it's an astrophysicist application, which produces a lot of interesting scientific discovery. It just so happens that it's evil for SSD deployment and is asking for one SSD per simulation node. So from now on, I will not talk about Chimera. SSDs are too expensive to be put on each simulation node. Okay, so we will say staging ratio temp seems to be acceptable except Chimera, and we want to evaluate what really happens if this is the case. Can we now support active computation? Can we now do data analysis on these controllers and say they do not slow down the main simulation? All right, so again, this equation you can ignore. Just focus on the text. That is, assume a staging ratio and evaluate which data analysis kernels can be actually placed. Now, why do I keep talking about, why do I bring up this notion of which data analysis kernel? The reason is simple. Different data analysis kernels will have different computing times. Hence, if you have 15 minutes left between two data production rate, then if the data analysis kernel is really compute intensive, probably you cannot place that on SST. And if it's really simple, then probably you can replace. And this is what we need to model. So it depends on data production rate and data analysis kernel throughput and staging ratio, how many simulation nodes are actually assigned to one, the permanent storage bandwidth, because you do need to finally write to your permanent storage system, and different SST characteristics. So TSSTK, which is in this equation, which I was hoping to come as an animation, it just says that if you want to place this analysis kernel K on your SST, then the compute throughput has to be higher than this. Means you need to finish certain amount of work, some processing few megabytes per second, let's say in 1 second, if you can replace it. If it is less than that, then you cannot place that. And before I show you the actual graph, let me show you a toy example to understand the graph which I will represent. I will show you next. And this again is the challenge of 5-page limit, so we had to condense a lot of information in just one single graph. So let me show this toy example. What do I really mean? On the x-axis is the staging ratio, 10 to 40. And on the y-axis is the compute throughput of a data analysis kernel. So let's say for a given application, a staging ratio is 10, then you should be able to, compute a particular kernel, which is kernel A, in this much time, or in this much compute throughput, megabytes per second, right? And let's say you want to increase it to 40, then you have to, then this thing increases. And this is probably, if you understand this point, it will become very clear on, or more intuitive, is that as you increase the staging ratios, then you need to finish the data analysis kernels faster, and that's why the compute throughput, required compute throughput, goes high. And let's say the kernel I want to place is the kernel A, which has this much of throughput, and that is independent of application. It's just the data analysis kernel, right? So definitely kernel A can be placed on SST only with staging ratio 10 and not with 40, because this line is above this little triangle, and we will see this triangle again and again. Right. All right, so let me show you one, which is the analysis kernel. So on the y-axis here, you see on the legend side, you see different analysis kernels, which are mean, that takes the average of your produced output data. Graph is a regular expression search. Transpose, PCA, JJP, fingerprinting, or k-means. If you see k-means as the lowest throughput because it's the most compute intensive, right? And as you go to mean or graph, the compute intensiveness goes down and hence has a higher throughput, okay? And we measured that, so we emulated the SST controller using a Panda board, ARM Cortex-A9 processor, and we just use one controller, one core. Remind you, it does have multiple cores, which we assume will be used for garbage collection or I/O, but on one we can just run our, actually Samsung PM830 has exactly 3 cores. I don't know the reason for choosing number 3, but it has 3, so one I/O, one GC, one garbage collection, and probably one will do data analysis. All right, so these are the throughput, compute throughput of different analysis kernels. Now we want to explore which ones can we place, so let's look one at a time. Let's say Chimera. So all it says is Chimera, if the staging ratio is 5, this is the compute throughput you should have, so you can support just two, grep and mean, but not anything else because everything else is below it, okay? As you increase the staging ratio, the requirement goes high and hence you even lose grep and you can only support mean, okay? And as you go on 25, you lose everything. You cannot support it. But remember, a staging ratio of 5, 10, and 25 here for Chimera is probably not so relevant because we just figured out that you need one SST for each simulation node. So let's look at another example. For example, Vulkan. This is a supernova simulation and it explains the core collapse physics simulation. It is really nice in the sense it does not produce so much data. Hence, with all the staging ratios, you can actually support all the kernels. You can run all these analysis kernels without slowing any one of them, without slowing down the main simulation. Okay, more interesting ones. POP is little worse than Vulkan, but still you can support probably everything. All right, S3D is the yellow one. This is the yellow round shape. With a staging ratio 5, you can probably support just maybe k-means, even not k-means, but if you go to 10, other than k-means, you can support everything else. This line is slightly above the yellow dot. If you go to 25, you actually even lose on fingerprinting, and hence you cannot support that. You can only support these analysis kernels. Okay? And as you go on 50, you even lose more, and you can only support. So if we look at other applications, which I have plotted others as well here, I embed more applications here. It seems like that staging ratio 10 really looks good, except for Chimera and S3D, because S3D cannot support k-means, because it is below the yellow dot. Okay. What is the key takeaway from this feasibility study? Is that most of the data analysis kernels can be placed on SST without actually slowing down the simulation. Okay. Now we really want to, once we have decided on this, we really want to say, all right, so it seems like it doesn't need over-provisioning. Whatever you have provisioned for your I/O, you can happily support your active computation without disturbing anything. Well, if we did that, what would be the whole benefit, right? So let's, since we have covered the feasibility, let's go next to energy cost and model that. I will again not show you lots of equation, but I do want to mention one thing. Our energy model is, modeled after Samsung PM830 and a staging ratio 10. The total cost, which I want to break down into multiple, and each one of them have their own expression, which is not shown here, is the time SST is actually busy is when it is, the data is going from the simulation node to SST, when it is actually performing the data analysis, and when it is finally writing to PFS. PFS is the permanent storage system, parallel file system. And if anything is left, if we have spared SST for a while, it will actually be idle for some time. Why is there a minus component, minus I/O saving? Remember, by doing I/O faster, SST actually does speed up the simulation nodes. So it does reduce the energy consumption of these simulation nodes, and that's why we have I/O saving. And probably we will cover how much is that, we will quantify that. And the offline approach energy model is modeled after Intel Core to Quad-like nodes. It's overly optimistic in the sense we do not consider any cooling cost, assembling cost, or data movement cost. We just assume that these nodes are actually idle while reading or writing the data and active only while doing the analysis. Okay. So any of these numbers we will see are actually pessimistic for our approach. Okay. For example, look at application S3D. Bar actually represents, zero line represents the baseline where we do not do any data analysis and simulation nodes are just running the simulation. What is this dotted line? Dotted line is the I/O saving, which is below zero, saying that if you just used SSD and did not perform any I/O active computation, you still save a lot of energy or some energy depending on what application you are running. Now we put two more bars. One is the active flash approach, and one is offline approach. Offline approach is always above zero because it incurs extra energy for performing offline data analysis. Active flash does take away some of the energy savings from the I/O savings. And if you see, as the computations, as these kernels on the x-axis go, become more compute intensive, the energy is being consumed is higher and higher. Okay, but it's still, below zero. In some applications, we will show that it does go beyond zero. But the overall takeaway is that by doing this, we're actually saving energy a lot compared to offline approach. For example, in this case, it is more than 750 kilowatt hour for an entire run of an application, just for one day. So these applications typically run for 24 hours. Okay, there are more results for other applications except Chimera, and you see, sometimes it's more than zero. The overall takeaway again is that there is a significant energy saving compared to offline approach, but it varies according to applications, right? So this summarizes the energy cost, and this summarizes our paper. Finally, what do we conclude out of this, and what really is the future, right? So we have shown that active computation on SSD is feasible indeed for data analysis task in a large scale setting, Jaguar-like setting for HPC computations. And active computations inherently reduces data movement cost and improves the energy efficiency. And thankfully, it does not require any over-provisioning. You don't have to order extra cores or extra SSDs to actually do these data in-transit data analysis. And the current paper does not actually exploit. We have a technical report which does. And we actually show that it actually, these energy savings will actually cut the electricity bill and will help you save the, or you know, pay for your SSD cost, because SSDs are costly, right? So you do need to kind of pay for it eventually, right? So we study how much that is, you know, bridged, and how do we really and what are other opportunities. And with that, I really thank you for your attention.
Hi everybody, I'm Kunal, I'm a graduate student at UCSD. So my question is for the energy saving, from where is it coming? Like, is it the compute, is it the network? I did not get that point, from where the energy savings are coming.
Right, so energy savings are coming from two parts. First part is the I/O saving, because since you can do now faster I/O, simulation nodes can go back to their simulation faster, and hence their overall execution time has been reduced. So that is one saving on the simulation node part. Okay. The second saving is coming, rather than sending out your data to offline cluster and doing computation there, you're doing it on in-transit on the data, okay? And you are doing it on a low power core. You know, these controls are low power. So that also saves your energy. So these are the two parts.
Okay, so it's more about you don't require a separate entity, right?
Right, you don't require the separate entity. You have enough of a resource to actually do the data analysis while the data is in transit on your storage devices.
Yeah, because for the controllers itself, while they are used, if they are not being used, you can always curtail their, you can get them into low power state or something.
Right. So idle power is, for example, substantially low than active power. But even the active power is so low compared to, you know, these humongous simulation nodes, that if you perform on these data analysis, which are not flop intensive or really computer intensive compared to your simulation code, then you can still save a lot of energy.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, thanks for the talk. My name is Krishna and I'm from Intel Corporation. So I was just trying to understand how much of a coding effort it would require if I were to decide to use SSDs for...
Yeah, so that's a good question, right? So you said how much coding effort or how much is the program. So put it another way, how much is the programmability a challenge, right?
Yes.
So you have to insert your code in the firmware. For example, we are building a prototype on OpenSSD, which actually inserts the code, the data analysis code, in the firmware, which performs garbage collection or other activities. And once the host or the simulation node has to tell, all right, here is my data, can you perform this analysis kernel? So you have to put that in your firmware. And OpenSSD is a kind of open source SSD platform for these firmware kind of programming things. So once we have shown that actually it is feasible, probably it is worth putting that effort and modifying the firmware and executing data analysis tasks.
Okay, thank you.
So I had the question.
Yes.
So do you think, sort of in light of the previous question, programming challenge, would an offline server which was based around on cores and flash memory, it would have been somewhere in the middle,
So what offline was...
So see, currently your offline model is kind of a very heavy duty offline
right.
computer. So I was just wondering that using the same type of on cores and a flash based memory as the offline processing server.
Right, so that's another,
right,
it's related
that's
an and it's a great
point which has
right.
attributes of your.
Right. So one is tongue-in-cheek kind of answer, and one other is more technical. The first one is, since you anyway have all these low-power processors in the system itself, why do we need to buy more on the offline?
Same reason.
Right. So we can just use that. And even if you use these low-power cores as an offline, you still have to transfer your data from your permanent storage to your offline cluster. And though we model that the cluster itself is very nearby to your storage system, in practice that is not true. People run on ORNL and get back data to NC State, which goes over the wide area network. So you know that cost is still there. So it's probably better to just put it there. Right?
Thank you. Thanks.